message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad to have you with us today, and we trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a blessing and a help to you. As we continue our studies in Romans, we've been going through the edification foundation of grace, the basic principles of grace that God has laid down for us in the book of Romans. Paul said, I've laid the foundation. And the foundation for the edifice of doctrine that's to be built up in our soul is laid in the book of Romans in four special principles of grace. And we're working through the second one of those foundation principles in Romans chapter number 6, 7, and 8. And we've come down in studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit as it's laid out in the book of Romans, especially in chapter 8. We've come down to the issue in verse 26 and 27 of the Holy Spirit's prayer ministry. The Holy Spirit is only mentioned one time in the first seven chapters of the book of Romans, and that's in chapter 5, where we're simply told that we possess Him when we get saved. In chapter 8 alone, He's mentioned 19 times. The first seven chapters once, chapter 8, one chapter, 19 times. It ought to make you think, whoa, wait a minute, what is it that in chapter 8 changes where all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is being talked about? And the answer to that is very simple if you think about it. God the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. That's how He works. Until you have an adequate amount of sound doctrine stored up in your soul, you are not equipped, nor are you ready, nor is it proper for someone to talk to you about the ministry of the person of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, I know a lot of folks get saved, you know, and the next thing they want people to do is get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and start dancing and carrying on, having all kind of things. And the emphasis would be on the Holy Spirit working in the lives of believers and the spiritual gifts and the Spirit's ministry and walking in this and all. And all of that is just a bunch of religious easy speak. That's religious speak, as they say, in the Orwellian kind of a term. It has nothing to do with what's going on in the Word of God. The Bible says, Jesus said, that when the Holy Spirit's come, He will glorify Me, Jesus said. He won't speak of His own. He won't glorify Himself. And any time you hear a ministry or you get involved in a ministry that is focusing on the working of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's activity and God the Holy Spirit doing things, when you do that, you've got hooked up with something that's off base. Because what the Holy Spirit is going to produce in you and me as believers is the life of Jesus Christ. Not His life, it's the life of Christ. It's the activity of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is the character and the characteristics of God the Son that are produced in our lives. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is listed as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, meekness, gentleness, and that kind of thing. You see, what the Holy Spirit is doing with us is He's producing Jesus Christ and His life and His character, His actions and His attitudes in us. And God the Holy Spirit does that through the Word, through an understanding, through our intelligent understanding of God's Word to us. As we rest by faith in that, then the Holy Spirit works. That's why you need the first seven chapters of the book of Romans, all of that doctrine about our justification by grace through faith plus nothing, about our identity in Christ, being identified with Him in His death and His burial and His resurrection, our oneness with Him, our freedom from the law and our being placed under the administration of grace, and how that we're not working under the law principle, but we're working under the grace program, and how that allows the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, to empower our lives and give us victory in the details of our lives day by day. That's why it's not until chapter 8 that the person and the work of the Holy Spirit is brought up. His person is brought up to demonstrate His work in taking the doctrine of our identification in Christ and making that live in us. And thus, when you get to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, He says, likewise, the Spirit also, here's something else He does. He helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know by nature. We don't know how God can best be glorified in our lives. Did you ever wonder what you ought to pray about? You ever wonder what the will of God was in a situation? Did you ever wonder how to work the details out? That verse fits you, doesn't it? You know, the verse over there in John, he says, what Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be given you. Now, that verse doesn't help me a whole lot because I don't often know what to ask. Most of the time when I go to the Lord and talk about something, I'm afraid to ask Him about too much, too specifically, because I'm not real sure. Now, I know, you know, some people say, well, I always know. Yeah, but you know good and well you don't. You know, somebody might get up here, you know, and get in the pulpit or getting on TV, on the radio, or get in a crowd and try to show off and make you think he always knows. But you know that even if he does, you don't. You know that, you know. Might as well just be honest. It's just you and me talking. And you know that. That verse right there fits how you have to pray. He says, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit also makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, God the Father knows what God the Holy Spirit's doing in your life, because what the Holy Spirit's doing is in line with the will of God, and that will of God is revealed in the Word of God. Wouldn't it be interesting to know how the Holy Spirit prays? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, boy, I'd like to just listen while the Holy Spirit is making those intercessions that can't be uttered, you know, the groanings that can't be uttered. He's entering into the most basic level of needs that I have. And I'd like to just hear what he said. Hear how he translated my groanings. Well, you can. So how can I do that? You can do it through the Word of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 1. I want you to notice when the Holy Spirit prays, what he prays about. Will you? In Ephesians chapter 1, God the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, I should say to you that there are more prayers. Paul, outside of King David, who wrote most of the Psalms, there are more prayers of the Apostle Paul recorded in Scripture than any other single individual. That's interesting. A man told me one time, he says, you know, preacher, I learned the message of grace, I learned how to rightly divide the word, and my prayer life went to pot. You know what the problem there was? What he found out was that everything he was doing in prayer was just religion. It was just an exercise to satisfy the lust and the desires of his flesh to make him feel good. A lady told me one time in a meeting down in Texas, I had drawn the right division chart that I draw so often here, and we talked about rightly dividing the word and the program for today, and how that Pentecost isn't what God's doing today, and the Pentecostal program isn't what God's doing today, but that he's doing something new and different that was introduced through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And we talked about the gifts and the deliverances and so forth, and how those things had to do with the nation Israel. They were Israel's heritage. They belonged to the nation Israel. And when God set the nation Israel aside, he set those things aside too. And when he quit dealing with Israel, he quit performing those miracles, signs, and wonders. They were signs and wonders to God's sign people. And when the sign people weren't the issue anymore, then they weren't necessary anymore. And she came up to me. She sat in the meeting down close to the front, and she was weeping. And after the meeting, I asked her, I said, are you okay? You know, is there a problem? And she says, no, I'm getting it, I'm getting it, I'm seeing the verses. And so she went off, and the next day she came back. And we're sitting there, and we had the meeting, we studied. And after the last meeting there in the meeting hall, she came up to me. And she said, Brother Rick, I understand what you're saying, and I see it in the Scripture. But let me ask you something. Said, I graduated from this famous, and she named the name, and if I named it, you'd probably hear it because you see them on the television and they're all around, ministry. And she says, I went through their school, and they taught me how to pray in the Spirit and how to dance in the Spirit and have all this stuff going on. And she says, I see in God's Word that isn't what the Bible is talking about. But is it okay if I just keep on praying in the Spirit? And I said, well, what do you mean by praying in the Spirit? Because Ephesians 6 tells you to do that. And we had discussed that praying in the Spirit means to pray as the Holy Spirit would lead you. Pray according to the will of God. That is, pray according to the word rightly divided. It has nothing to do with dancing. It has nothing to do with holding your hands up and making some kind of physical gyrations and having, you know. I mean, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect through the flesh? All it's been about holding your hands up when you pray and all that kind of thing. You know what that is? That is just religious nonsense. That's just like kneeling down and putting on the scarves and twiddling the beads and all the rest of it. It is just religion. It's designed to satisfy the lust of your flesh. It has nothing to do with enhance your communication with God. You say, but I feel... Yeah, that's it. I said your flesh. Are you so foolish? Are you such a Bible dumbbell, Paul says to the Galatians in Galatians 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect through the flesh? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now... Is your spiritual life now enhanced by physical activities? Well, friends, your flesh might be enhanced by it, but your spirit sure isn't. Very clear, scripturally. God doesn't need your emotions. God doesn't use your intellect and your emotions. God works through His Word in your spirit. And this young lady, she says, I understand all that, and I see it, and I see it in the Scripture, and I'm by faith going to choose to believe what God says. But is it okay if I, and I said, well, you know, I'd ask her, what do you mean by praying in the Spirit? She says, praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. She says, is it okay if I still do that? And I told her, I said, look, Mary, if you want to do it, and you will acknowledge and understand that God doesn't want you to do that, God's Word doesn't tell you to do that, there's nothing, no enhancement being given to your communication with God by your activity, that it has nothing to do with communication with God, it has nothing to do with prayer. On that basis, if you want to do it, go ahead. And she looked at me, she says, it kind of takes all the fun out of it, doesn't it? yes, it does. Yeah, it does. And see, that's the problem. People want to have fun rather than doing what God wants to do. You know what she had to decide? She had to decide if she wanted to have fun and just satisfy the lust of her flesh. And let me tell you something. Religion can do it just like a honky-tonk can do it. Religion can do it just like a ball game can do it. Going to church can do it just like going to the corner pub can do it. You know? Taking a swig of religious pride can do it just like taking a fifth of Smirnoff vodka can do it. One man's poison is good as another's if it's the flesh that you're tantalizing. Now that's hard, but that's straight. Jesus said the words. Jesus said, John 6:63, look it up. The flesh profits nothing. Say that again. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you. See? Words. They are spirit and they are life. If God the Holy Spirit's going to work in your life, it'll be through the words of God, not through your flesh. Not through satisfying the lust of your flesh. Not through tantalizing your flesh and not through using your flesh to enhance what He's already made perfect in His Son. God forbid that you would ever be, as He said to the Galatians, so foolish, to pit your righteousness and your activities and your abilities to perform and do in prayer against the perfect, complete position God has given you in His Son and the absolute total access and acceptance that you have in Christ. You see, that's quite different. In Ephesians chapter 1, God the Holy Spirit prays through Paul. He records that prayer in Scripture. So if you want to see how God the Holy Spirit is going to pray for you, look into the Pauline Scriptures. Look into Romans to Philemon. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and see how the Holy Spirit prays for believers through the apostle of the Gentiles. Now here's God the Holy Spirit praying for us, recording it in the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you and to make mention of you in my prayers. All right, what does he pray? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now that's a prayer. The Holy Spirit, he's praying for illumination. He's praying that that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, when he talks about the spirit of wisdom and revelation, he's talking about the operating of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Now, he's not talking about these people don't have the Holy Spirit, now they've got to get him. You know that from verse 13. He says in verse 13, in whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, there's a sequential order laid out here. It's not a big, long time element. There's some sequences that you, so you understand what salvation's about. First, you hear the gospel, the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In order to be saved, you have to hear the life-giving message of the word of God, that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and was raised again the third day for your justification. He died to pay for everything that's wrong with you, and God raised him from the dead so he could be the author of eternal life to everyone that believes, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of... You don't trust him before you hear it. You don't... God doesn't come in somehow and just apart from his word implant his life in you so that you then can hear the word and believe. There's a lot of theological mumbo-jumbo about that, but that's not what the verse says. And I'm not going to believe theologians, I'm going to believe Paul. First, you hear the word. The word is a life-giving message. God the Holy Spirit comes with his word. And when you trust that word, what happens? There's salvation. There's regeneration. There's justification. After that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In response to your faith in that life-giving message, God the Holy Spirit comes in and he does five wonderful things the instant you trust Christ. They are, you can remember them with the anachronism CRIBS, C-R-I-B-S. Think of a baby. You're born into the family of God. You put a baby in a crib. C, we're circumcised with the circumcision, the putting off of the body, the sins of the flesh. Colossians 2:11, rather. R, we are regenerated. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I, C-R-I, we are indwelt. God the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. Takes up his abode in the hearts of believers. B, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. S, God the Holy Spirit comes and his indwelling presence, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. His indwelling presence is the seal and the guarantor of our accomplished redemption. So the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, in response to that faith, that act of faith in him, God the Holy Spirit comes in and you possess him. Now, after they'd been saved, Paul prays for them. God the Holy Spirit prays through Paul for them, that God the Father would give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's a name of the Holy Spirit, by the way. That's the way God reveals things. And it's God the Holy Spirit's job to illuminate and to teach the believer. That's part of his ministry to us. He's praying that we would appropriate that function and that ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we would come to appreciate the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit in relation to the advanced truths of the Christian life, to the growing process. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You need to be oriented properly to the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And you'll see it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The mechanics of how the Spirit of wisdom and revelation works in your life. God, He's praying that we would have the illuminating teaching ministry. You know what the Holy Spirit wants for you first? He wants you to know some things. That verse says that that He would give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of what? Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward? You see, everything when the Holy Spirit prays focuses on Him. Now, when you pray, where do your prayers focus mostly? Go to the average church. Go to prayer meeting. Maybe it's on Wednesday night at the church building. Maybe it's on some other time in a home. Listen to the radio. And they have the prayer times and the prayer requests. What is the focus of 99.7% of all the prayer requests that you hear? They're you. They're me, aren't they? I tell you what you do. You search Paul's epistles and find one time when he ever asked, God the Holy Spirit through Paul ever asked anybody to pray for him and for his problems and his needs, and compare those with how many times he prays and asks you to get to know God. Colossians chapter 1, another one of Paul's prayers. He says, Colossians 1, 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to be filled with a knowledge of Him. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to understand Him. He wants you to know how He thinks, how He feels, how He reacts, what He's doing, what the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance, the greatness of His power. That's what He wants you to know. He wants you to get to know Him. How are you going to do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The illuminating teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit is designed to teach you and to get you to know the Lord. The issue in prayer is not, I'm going to tell God about what I need and try to talk Him into doing what I want Him to do. Prayer, you see, God is not some great genie up in the sky that when you want something, you rub the lamp three times in the right way and it materializes. That's the way most people use prayer. Most people pray, when they pray, they don't even think about prayer until they got something they need. And then they run to God and rub the lamp, you know. If we can rub the prayer lamp just right, boom, our answers will come. Just saying it shows you how ridiculous. He's not a great genie. He's not a bellhop to run and fetch your bags for you and fetch answers when you need. That isn't the issue. But you want to know what prayer really is? The first thing Paul prays for is your enlightenment. That the Holy Spirit would be able to work through His Word and give you some understanding. To get to know who God is and how He works. The way that illuminating ministry works. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Never let anybody stop reading that verse at that point, will you? That verse says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hadn't entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. There are three ways that you can know anything that you know. There are only three ways for you to know everything you know. Eye, ear, and your heart. The way that we have to understand things and perceive things, our abilities can't find out God. The things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But, verse 10, never stop in verse 9. But God, that's the way we are by nature, but God hadn't left us in our helplessness. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's like Romans 8:27. The Spirit, He knows what's the mind of the Spirit. He searches it, He knows. Why? The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we've not received the spirit of the world, but we've received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teach, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, the primary reason that you have received, that God gave you His Spirit, His basic function in your life, is that you might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, not religious tradition, not denominational dogma, not human viewpoint, but the words which the Holy Ghost speaks. The book. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing verse with verse. Truth with truth. And taking the truths out of the spiritual doctrines out of God's Word and storing them up into the hearts of believers that allows you and I to walk as spiritual believers. Walk in the Spirit and thus not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your prayer life is designed to be a divine operating asset. The Word of God and prayer go hand in hand, inseparably. They are designed to equip you in time, in the details of your life, to take the identity and the position God gives you in Christ and see that realized in all the details of your life and every relation. Prayer is simply talking to your best friend. Enjoy the relationship God has given you in His Son and the privilege He has of making you one with Him. Operate by faith in what God says in His Word and who God says you are. And that way you live on a daily basis for God's glory. We're certainly glad you've joined us today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape you'd like to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, When the Holy Spirit Prays. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 298. That's tape offer number 298. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until next time for another Message of Grace.